Consensus 1234 invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Jane Kennedy.
Good morning, Australians, new Australians, refugees and miscellaneous. It's another, well, Get This with myself and Ed Cavalier.
Morning.
And please, some fake applause if you would for Jane Kennedy.
Good morning. Tony, Ed, how are you?
Good.
What's going on with the downstairs department there, Jane?
My downstairs, yes, I'm carrying a bit of a load into the studio this morning. For some wacky reason, it's been dubbed upon me to have twins.
Oh, give that a round if you would, Mr. Bear.
Twins?
Oh, what's going on, Tony?
That's a tad unnecessary, isn't it?
I actually have a bunch of small people at home already. So it's just, you know, adding to the brood, or as it was reported in the paper last week, I'm actually having puppies, apparently.
What's going on there?
Well, it was reported, it said the Kennedy Kennel expands.
Oh, that's not insulting.
And it says that I'm having new puppies because it's a hilarious play on words to the working dog references.
Ah, gotcha.
And I'm slightly disappointed I haven't been contacted by every current affairs show in the world.
Well, you will be now. You will be.
But I'm having puppies.
How did this, because you don't chase this kind of publicity, how did it get into the paper?
I was in Sydney having a board meeting, actually.
Right. Oh,
I'm
okay.
Quite mature now in my old age, and I'm on the George Gregan Foundation board.
That sounds serious.
It is quite serious, and I went out for dinner, but it was reported that I was having a celebratory lunch with girlfriends.
Okay.
So I was gallivanting around.
It was a very late lunch, obviously.
It was a late lunch. In fact, was being quite serious for once in my life at a board meeting. So someone must have overheard, probably seen me, because I'm quite frankly the size of a house.
Yeah, it's not going to be one of those silent births.
Well, it surely will not, and I'll be screaming for the epidural.
All right, now look, Jane, I'm trying to remember the last time I've seen or heard you on anything. You've been quite reclusive for a number of years, obviously having children.
I've been breeding, but before that, I was remembering the last time. It was when we put out a movie called The Dish.
Yes.
The year 2000, I'm quite sure it was released, and it was about October. I was doing some publicity for it with Tom Long, one of the actors in it. We were sent to Brisbane. That was our area to cover, to do publicity. And we appeared on one of the wacky breakfast shows.
What was it called?
Look, I'll keep it under my hat because of what I'm about to say.
Okay, fair enough.
They really gave me the pip, I have to say, these dudes, when we came in. And they really didn't want to talk about the film. That's fair enough.
Right.
And we're sitting there going, oh, look, we'll just go to an ad break. And they gave us a piece of paper and they said, we've written this hilarious sketch based on Frontline.
Oh.
Okay? And I quickly read it and it was completely libelous, slanderous, really dark and ugly about everybody in the industry. I thought, I actually can't say anything. So I had to edit it on the spot as I was reading it out. And they were horrified and found it very unfunny and... That was it. So that was 6 years ago.
Did a lot of horns go off and just went straight into Battle of the Sexes?
Something like that.
Try and cover for it.
That was a Battle of the Sexes
I'm
moment.
Sure it wasn't our fine friends at The Cage in Brisbane.
No.
It would have been
was not The Cage in Brisbane.
A much lesser program. You know, somebody who does live in Queensland and who was in, I think, the very first episode of Frontline was Ugly Dave Gray.
Correct, yes.
And do you mind if I tell this story on air about Ugly Dave?
Go ahead.
Because he died, didn't he, in the episode?
That's right.
I think there was a very moving shot of a stretcher being loaded into a hearse with just a cigar.
That's right. It was a hand with a big chunky ring and a cigar still smouldering.
Well, I remember Tom Gleisner showed me a script and apparently Ugly Dave had gone, my character could come back.
That's right.
He even though he was dead. And he wrote a scene for Frontline.
Well, don't worry. McLeod's daughter's apparently going to do that. Bring characters back from the dead. Oh, so it still happens.
Good. But I'm saying to Tom, but if he's dead and it's meant to be real life, how does Ugly Dave come back? Does his twin brother arrive?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And Tom showed me a script, a very fine script that Ugly Dave
had written,
but it just wasn't really Frontline. It was more sort of Carry On Nurse. And it was him. He wasn't dead at all. And he wakes up in hospital and immediately just grabs a bird's ass.
It truly was, actually.
It was a pretty wacky direction for Frontline, F2.
Yes, two episodes in, we thought that was a bit of a stretch.
Well, all right. You can do some Carry On Nurse work when you're them twins.
Look out.
Look, we want to get some more rubbish out of you, if that's all right, Jane.
Thanks. I'd love to.
Thanks for coming down to our level here at Get This.
Triple M.
Yes, the Sunny Boys here at Triple M. It's Get This Around the Nation. Jane Kennedy is our co-host this morning.
I am indeed.
Anzac Day, did you get up to anything for Anzac Day? Jane, Ed, anybody?
I didn't really, but I did see this full-page advertisement in the newspaper. Did you catch this one?
What's that?
Well, you know, as I said, that I was having a few children and I wanted to make it abundantly clear that I'm not doing under any sort of intentions from Peter Costello or John Howard, you know, they're encouraging the nation to that. That's not the reason.
No.
Could be this reason, though. Yesterday, have you heard about this? Gary Johnson, he's a Sydney businessman. He's a multi-millionaire, he wants everyone to know.
Fair enough.
He took out full-page advertisements in newspapers across the country. It's a call to arms, and it's encouraging more Australians to have babies.
Right, okay.
Wow.
And he's got all these headings in this big advertisement. Visually, he's got a picture of a soldier from World War One calling from the Dardanelles.
Right.
Wow.
Somehow that's linked with having a baby. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that works.
So instead of just saying, hey, Australia, get rooting.
Correct. Something classy like that.
He's invoking the Dardanelles.
He has really thought about this. And he says, you may be able to do something about this problem. He says, our population's, you know, on the decline.
Right.
He says, is this you? You're a couple in a stable relationship. You've had your kids. They're no longer babies and they're off at secondary or primary school. Your job's secure and your mortgage is under control. You're in the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you have another child?
Go on.
He says,
come on.
While you're still young and fertile.
What else are you going to do?
But you know, he says, have another child for your country.
Yes.
Not for your own pleasure. Have another child for your country. And you know what he calls it? To do the link with Anzac Day.
What's that mean?
He says, just think, we need to get it up to the 2.1 child per female. He goes, can you see the link? 2.1, 2.1, 2 up. Why not play 2 up? So there's the Anzac Day link. He says, don't have your McMansion. Don't have your home cinema.
Nope.
Have another child.
There.
You selfish nation.
So what are we doing wrong? I thought the idea was that there was way too many people in the world. And then, frankly, we've got to start culling a few.
No, apparently we need, he says, where are all the Ian Thorpes going to come from?
That's
if
true.
If we don't breed more children.
Right. Is this one of those things where the hidden subtext is more white children? Is that what that's about?
You know what? I think it is because in very small print down the bottom, there's kind of a disclaimer.
It's
finally, the writer acknowledges that immigration is an essential part of this country's population, but that immigration should augment our population, not dominate it.
There it is. All right. Can we get a segment out? Is there a competition about this? Who can have more children by the end of the program? Let's do that. Jane, we used to be on Triple M many, many years ago on The Breakfast Show in Melbourne.
Mm.
And do you remember those days?
I certainly do.
What unusual days they were. We used to do a 4-hour breakfast show. And it was me, Tom Glies and Sandra Chalara. And we were like comedy scientists. We did like 8 sketches a day. There was like 1 caller a day. That's how up ourselves we were. And we had like, I think there was like 4 guests in 5 years.
That's right. Very few songs were played, which we were always getting trouble over.
We were just dead. It was just all about comedy sketches. And then Jane came along and sort of added a human face to the program. I think I was pretty horrible too, I think, wasn't I, in those days? Because I was just about pure comedy. Unless it's a sketch, it shouldn't be on air.
I think originally I had to do community service announcements.
but you were the way in for people to get into the show because you were
an actual
person. I was a sort of nearly two-dimensional version of myself called the Fat Man, if I remember. It's bizarre radio.
Terribly apt. But we did. I heard you talking to Tom Gleisner the other week about some of the more incredible competitions our station had instigated. And one that I do recall now that we did as The Breakfast Show is we had to take 20 listeners up to the snow.
Yeah. Oh. We did that every year, a couple of times a year, didn't we?
Well, 1 year I remember when we saw the bus arriving and it hit us that we had to get on the bus with all these people.
And we were going, if we got enough material to get to the Alps, we've got about 10 minutes.
And they were all quite aggressive and they're going, I can't wait for yous to perform for us tonight.
Oh.
I'm going, we're not performing for them, are we? Good Lord. We're going out for dinner and glasses of wine.
What did we do? What did we come up with?
Well, there's one bus trip that we went on and there was this rather grey, pasty-looking fellow sitting on the bus, really antsy and a bit jittery. Of course he was sitting next to Santo because Santo's the good soul that finds all these people. We find out we had to stop the bus on the way. I'm going, why are we stopping? outside a police station. The guy was on parole and he had to call into the cop shop just to check in.
While he was enjoying his fabulous Triple M prize.
That's right. I thought, what's that? What's going on there?
He was away, and
we had to sort of, you know, really keep an eye on him that whole trip.
There was antics ahoy up at the Snow. I remember there was, and they would have comedians at the Snow who would entertain people at night time. There was a guy called Tim Scully who used to do an act called The Bucket of Death. I'm sure people remember it, where he would stand on his head with his head in a bucket of water for like 5 or 6 minutes. And so I remember we're sitting there watching him and he gets upside down, puts his head in the bucket of water and it's like, going, oh, is he drowning? Is he? It's amazing. Oh, look, it's like 2 minutes now. It's 3 minutes. But by the 6th minute, when he came up, he would have, in like the 5th minute, have heard cheering. And when he came up out of the bucket of water, on the other side of the room, a guy was standing on his head, sculling a can of beer. And everyone had just lost interest in the bucket of death and going, check out what Dave can do.
It was that kind of mood on those Saturday nights up at the Snow, wasn't it?
But what I love is we obviously didn't have enough material. We had to bring the bucket of death in.
Yes, exactly. Why not?
We've got so much more to get to in this hour, which I'm sure is already... Are we at the top of the hour already, Nikki? Are we into the next program? Hey, we've got some rock history to do because it's Triple M. Do you want to do that next?
I'm seeing a name that's really, you know, getting me excited.
You've seen the name Gary Newman and you were momentarily dazzled.
I was.
There's a big surprise for Gary Newman fans coming up soon. Get
this. We'll be suffering the effects for a very long time, he says.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
Everything I'm Not, that's the Veronicas. It's Get This on Triple M. And Jane Kennedy is our co-host today.
Good morning, Tony, everyone.
I'm going to shock you now, Jane. I'm going to show you something. It's the Zoo.
Oh, no.
The Zoo Weekly with Nikki Webster looking disturbingly airbrushed. And then urging our boys on to victory in the Gulf.
Oh, dearie me.
With some kind of poster where she's dressed as a soldier.
She does look pretty tasty.
It's disturbing, though, isn't it?
It is disturbing. But, you know, look, she's getting on now. She's, you know, what, 14?
Oh, jaded over the hill.
I did see this. I was as disturbed to see that as I was to see the girl with the boob job on Big Brother, who was 19. But, look, I think, obviously, Nikki's trying to go for the... She wanted to be taken more seriously, and it didn't work, so she's gone the Zoo option. Where can you go from here?
Yeah, what's her job now? What does she do?
I think she should do an album, a really serious sort of album of jaded middle-aged songs called Nikki Webster, September of My Years.
Oh, look.
When I was 17, about 2 weeks ago.
Or a Janis Joplin, Learn the Truth.
That's a good idea.
I don't want to go, Nikki. I think she's a great chick, but crikey, you know, that's not her fault. That's her advisors.
Right.
I just say, come on, you know, you need to do the nice spread in Women's Weekly. That don't go anyone. they're pleasant to everyone.
Hey, you've mentioned Janis Joplin and, you know, we've been on here, this is our fourth week doing this show on Triple M. And yet there's been no rock history, you know, and there should always be a bit of... We used to have rock history on our old breakfast show in Melbourne.
Of course, yes.
Remember we did a serial, you were in it, it was called Les Gock Born to Rock.
Of course.
And it was the story of Les Gock, the lead singer of Hush.
Yes.
And it was educational and fun.
It was.
And so I think we need a rock documentary segment.
A rockumentary.
A rockumentary segment on the show because I love rockumentaries.
So do I.
I love hearing voices of people who you've never heard you speak before, you know, lesser name Loomeries from Loomeries?
Yes,
that is. That a word?
And Luminaries
as well.
That's
a factory that makes looms. Sorry, it's very early. So, you know, let's have a bit of it now. Let's go behind the rock.
Oh, hello. This is Gary Newman here from QB Army. That was us. You might remember a couple of little tunes. They were the Friends Electric. That was quite a big hit for us.
This week on Behind the Rock, synth rock pioneer Gary Newman recalls his dizzying rise and fall from Our Friends Electric to We Are Glass.
Also, we did Cars. Are we getting about in Cars? Is that us? Getting about in Cars. That were very popular. We did Downing Park. A lot of synthesizers and, you know, bloody dry ice, all that carry on. Bloody Perspex pyramids. I was, you know, recalling in horror from them. I don't know what that was bloody about. Anyway, what else did we do? Oh, God. What were the other ones? Oh, yeah. Oh, God, how could I forget? We did We Are Glass. And I was misguided. You know, it's a bit of a to-do over that. People saying, you know, cars, you know, getting about in cars. That's fine. We accept that. You know, we might even, you know, let you off with a warning on bloody friends being electric. But, mate, you know, we're clearly not glass. You're barking up rug tree. You know, leave it. It's not going to happen. We never were glass. We're not going to be glass. So, you know, we were sent off paddock.
Behind the Rock with Gary Newman.
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, are we glass? I mean, you know, maybe I was onto something. But no, no, we're not glass. I've come to accept that now.
And Phil Oakey of the Human League reveals when he knew the pirate shirt party was over.
You know, it's pretty f***ing simple, isn't it? Do you not want me? You're working at a f***ing cocktail bar when I found you. Do you not want me? That's all it is. Love Action. Love Action. It's f***ing easy. Anyone can follow it, right? Get around town to what? Sound of the bloody crowd, innit? So what, you know, what's with the f***ing Lebanon? You're dancing a f***ing disco. You know, a bit of Love Action. And then, oh, hang on. What do you think about what's going on over in the Lebanon? You're not doing that. What would you do that for? So, you know, it was bloody down here from there, wasn't it?
The greatest voices of the new romantic period tell it like it was and then suddenly wasn't in Since You've Been Gone this week on Behind the Rock.
That's Van Halen. Jump here at Triple M. It's Get This. And please stop calling Les Gok fans. Apparently Les was the guitarist.
Of course he was. I did know that and I must have been distracted and didn't pick it up, Tone. And in fact, Les Gok was on one of those Australia's Brainiest.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, recently. He's looking really good.
Yeah, he's always looked pretty good.
Quite dashing, yes. Yeah.
And he does a lot of ad jingles, I think.
Yes, he does. Very successful.
What were the Hush songs? I'm trying to remember. Glad All Over, was that them?
Boney Maroney, that was the big one.
Yeah, I'd have no idea who Les Gok is at this point.
Just glazing over.
You're but a child, Ed.
It was
but
in
a
the,
child.
It was in the pre-Ace of Base era.
Ah, yeah, that's when I became
It was Kush,
conscious.
Hush, you know, it was, you know, all that era.
It was a crazy time. Do we want to hear a certain sound effect?
Ooh.
Chalkback Mountain is a segment. Have you been seeing any good stuff on the telly, you two?
I am obsessed with a lot of television. I've been watching a lot.
Yes.
I think it's all I seem to do these days.
Yeah.
I'm mad on Oprah.
Right.
And look, I know she's on every day and she's nothing new, but she's a bit sad at the moment. You
What's
know
happened?
Why? She's piled on 22 kilos.
Oh. Right.
And I'm a little mystified as how she did this because she claims it's ever since she came back from visiting poor children in Africa.
Oh,
so I was confused as to maybe she possibly ate one, and that's why she put 22 kilos on. And she now says when anybody comes on, you know, someone might be an alcoholic or someone has a drug addiction or something, she goes, I understand addiction. I have an eating addiction.
Yeah.
That's what she calls it now, to sort of relinquish all responsibility from herself.
She had a Subway sandwich in her hand when she was in Africa.
So what's the problem here?
Totally nothing confused to eat. How someone can put on weight after they go to Africa.
But don't people like her when she's putting on weight? Isn't that
they
true? That
do.
Yeah.
They
if
do.
She gets thinner, the ratings go down.
I think that might be it. And she's also stopped, you know, she used to come out and high five everyone and when she's in her skinny clothes, and now it just cuts straight to her on the couch.
like Jake and the Fat Man.
It is a bit, she's not moving anywhere.
Yeah, wheeled in on the couch.
And she's taken herself off the cover of her magazine too.
Oh,
she
really?
Was on every single cover of Oprah magazine. She's now calling on her celebrity girlfriends to take her spot. So that's the Oprah update that I've been watching.
Yeah, that's great.
Now, what about, are you watching Big Brother?
Of course, yes.
Because as we know, this is the year of more intelligent housemates.
What really annoys me is if Dad forgets the chicken on Fridays.
And, you know, what have you noticed? Any observations so far? Is it too early to tell?
Well, the main observation was that they are all absolutely spunk, drop-dead gorgeous. Mm. They're all about 6 foot tall and they're really good to look at. So I think that was a good move on Big Brother's behalf. Agree.
But a lot of them are, you know, fake.
Fake
Norgs.
Fake Norgs are plenty.
And it's
mother-daughter fake Norgs.
That's right. There's a big article in the paper today and, you know, whether this is a good thing, whether kids, you know, people under 20 apparently shouldn't really have breast implants, according to health experts.
Yes.
But listen, at the end of the article, this is something I didn't know. An Adelaide conference on national cosmetic surgery today is set to hear that women in their 20s have had half-priced breast implants.
Really?
The deal is that patients get the usual 8 to 12 grand price tag halved as their surgery is done in front of an audience of medical professionals in live surgery workshops at the Norwood Day Surgery. So in other words, half price off if we can watch.
Who wants to see a bit of a show? Oh, you're kidding.
So that's, you know.
Well, look, I don't see that there's a major problem, you know. Look, this girl was 19, she wanted big boobs and right. So did her mum, so off they went. I'm planning, you know, perhaps more austere games for my daughter and I to do. You know, perhaps go to the movies or something like that.
That won't catch on.
No.
That's not going to work.
No.
But, you know, here's what we want to talk about today on Talkback Mountain is good telly. Give us some examples of good telly. Not necessarily shows, just bits of shows, things you've seen on telly.
Highlights.
Where you've gone, that was a great bit of telly.
Yep. Yeah.
There was a great bit of telly last year on 24 when, who's the woman on the computer? Chloe had to do an action scene. And she was locked in a car and couldn't get a machine gun to work. Mm. And it was the greatest action scene I've ever seen on a TV show. Something like that.
Excellent. Okay.
Just a moment. Here's something that we've been bagging Channel 10 because of Big Brother, but I saw something great on Channel 10. The World Poker Tour is back on Saturday nights. Thank God. They ran the Gary Busey episode. Have you seen
Was he calm? Was he calm and reserved?
Insane. He's insane. His teeth are insane.
Yeah. He looks insane under normal circumstances. So when he's tense in a poker game, I can only imagine.
He obviously still not wearing a bike helmet. But he's gone in hard. And they've done that thing where, you know, they go to the bit where the celebrity talks about their strategy. Yep. And I find if the first celebrity they go to, obviously that's who's going to go out first. Because if you think about it, see what I mean?
Right.
So they've gone to Gary Busey and he's, well, of course, it's all about acting. You've got to be a great actor to play poker. And I mean, I don't know about some of these guys. I don't know. There's some amateurs in the pool here. And so they've gone to the first round of poker. And they've got someone, I can't remember who it was, some actress who's probably never played poker in her life. And she's, and so that someone has gone, right, I'm going to put this down on the table. This woman's gone, just with no idea what she's doing, she's gone, I'll go all in. And Gary Busey has gone, I'm going all in too. And he's got two deuces. And he's gone in with two deuces out of the game. 6 out of 6. Left the table.
He's folded them.
Would not say a word to Shana Hyatt. Would not stick around for the wave at the end. Was really pissed off. Did not drink the beer of champions at the end. Did not stand next to Mike Sexton for may all your pots be monsters.
Yeah.
And just stormed off. Gary Busey. Mad.
Can't do that.
I'm saying that if you get two deuces, if that's your hand in Texas Hold'em, that should be known as the Busey hand. I'm playing a Busey. The Busey Deucey.
I think we could take that up.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
But that was just a great moment of TV.
Nice.
I'm just trying to think. Any other great moments?
Yes, I actually came across a program called, and I was so delighted when I saw it on Foxtel, Pushy Parents.
No. Pushy Parents.
Yeah. And it was a doco on these two pasty British women who thought their daughters were going to be massive international superstars. And one wanted her daughter to be the next Charlotte Church, which is not necessarily a good thing. Charlotte Church, as you know, that was a 12-year-old innocent soprano and is now one of these chicks you probably see in Ralph magazine pouring out of a car, with her underpants showing.
She's gone the Nikki Webster route.
She's gone a little off. And she had her daughter. She had five children. And she said in front of all the other children, well, it's very clear that my daughter Jessica is gifted. She's well above all my other children. They're not gifted. And my daughter's special, Jessica's special, and the other children just have to accept that. Yeah. And they're all nodding in agreement with this mother. And so is the daughter, Jessica. She's going, yes, well, I am. I'm very lucky because I get all the special treatment. And they took this child out for, you know, she has singing, dancing, tap dancing, all the lessons and everything. And the one that got me was she said, come on, children, get in the car. We're going to Jessica's temple tapping class. And that is where the child lay on a bed and some ooga booga woman tapped her temples as she called this mantra, I will be a successful stage and screen star.
Right.
And the child was 12. I thought, well, look, if I can't get tips from that of how to completely corrupt my children, which I've started to do, teaching them, you know, ridiculous songs to perform for people.
And but did the ooga booga technique work?
No, it didn't, because clearly, you know, look, it was very sad. This child tried to sing that Kyrie eleison, you know, that sort of Kyrie or words like that in those songs they have. And, it was terribly tragic. But obviously, that was a bit of a favourite of mine.
That's great.
Didn't tap the head hard enough.
No, absolutely not.
Temple tapping. There's something we need to get into.
Should we go have a chat? Should we have a chat to people?
Yeah.
All right. Give us a call. 133353 Talkback Mountain.
That's how it works. No, there's no time for electrocution.
Oh,
we'll do that later. Yes.
What is it? What did I win?
The Census 1234 on Triple M.
Hi. Oh, look, it's Triple M. It's Get This. That's Jimmy Barnes and Tim Rogers. There's a bar tab. Out of time. It's Talkback Mountain. Let's have the sound. Haven't sound effects come along since our day on Breakfast
Club? Miles. Jane, astounding.
Jane Kennedy is with us, and she's got two tiny children inside her. That's apparently.
I did not eat them. I promise.
And she's helping us rake through examples of good telly. We want to hear some good telly. Have we got Rob on the line? You there, Rob? Are you with us? Did Rob call back?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hey, good Rob. On you, Rob. What did you have for us?
So I got one of your favourites. Yesterday, I'm accidentally, I don't know how, but I accidentally saw Kerri-Anne Kennelly on television.
Don't apologise, Rob. Come on.
You'll recover.
She was talking to a colonel or someone from the army, and she wished him a happy Anzac Day. I don't know what's going on with that.
And what was his reaction?
He was just... I think he was a bit diplomatic about it all.
He didn't put on a party hat and just fire off some whistles.
No. He didn't pull out any bugles or anything. Oh. Bugles were streamers.
God bless her. She's always got the positive angle on everything, hasn't she? Even, you know, the devastation of war.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
And you're watching... So you don't watch it every day then, Rob?
No, not at all.
Come on, Rob.
I work for a living, guys. I've got to do something.
You love a bit of Kerri-Anne. Well, how's David Rain going on the other channel?
I think David and Kim, well, look, it's actually quite riveting viewing, I have to say. You've got to watch David during a cooking segment.
Oh, really?
He couldn't be more bored if he tried.
Does he look as bored as when he was in Shark's Paradise?
Oh, darling.
There's a forgotten telly movie from the 1980s.
Wow.
It was an attempt to turn David Rain into Australia's Don Johnson.
Good heavens. It certainly wasn't his brother because, of course, you know, his brother did a lot of acting. It was David's turn.
Was he eaten by a crocodile?
James, I think, was in the crocodile one, yeah.
Yeah. They should introduce a crocodile into the Big Brother house. I'd like to see that be the
with a boob job.
All right. Thank you, Rob. I think we got Sid from Sydney on the line. Sid, how are you going?
Hey, Sid. Not too bad yourself.
Not bad. What have you seen on the telly?
Well, I was getting into the old Survivor, and after 15 weeks, there's a guy on there that's trying to give up the cigarette,
right?
And he's won his little tournament thing that they got going on, and he's got him a party out of one of the islands, and the locals, they had a cigarette.
Right.
So this guy is just beyond himself. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know if he's meant to have one or not, but finally he gets it. He starts sucking on it, and you can see half his head just being sucked into it. It's just unbelievable. It's just brilliant viewing. Brilliant viewing.
Wow. What did you see on telly last night? I saw a bloke having a fag.
Wow. Tape it.
But I'm impressed that was a highlight.
Yeah,
it was a highlight because, you know, we can't advertise tobacco and all those things on TV. And just to have one guy there just going, that's
just brilliant. Doesn't seem fair,
Thank
does it?
Thank goodness they're getting a plug.
Exactly. All right, well, that's can we go better than that?
Yeah. Hey, Subby?
I don't know. Subby, you there?
How are you?
Hey, Subby.
That's not Subby from Tom and Subby, is it?
It is. How you going, guys?
Oh, hey, Subby. What's up?
Oh, you know, cruising along.
Yeah, sweet.
Thinking of great TV moments. Listen to this one. This is gold.
couple of Ashes series ago.
Yeah.
And they had Ian Chappell doing a live cross.
Yeah, right.
And it came back to him, and it was clear that he didn't know he was on the telly.
Oh, dear. Right.
And you know Ian Chappell, he's got a great record for these sort of things. So it was a delicious moment, because you're just watching it, just waiting for him to start swearing. And he's on there for about just playing with his earpiece. And as if on cue, sure enough, I can't hear an effing thing.
Beautiful.
It was about 12 years there where I think Ian Chappell didn't know he was on TV.
Yes,
pretty well every time he knew he was going to arc up, it was great.
Welcome back to this electrifying game.
Stop it. It's a very soothing voice, I found.
Oh, there's nothing better, though, is there, when you just catch someone who's... They don't know they're on air, and you're just waiting for that moment.
Yeah,
nothing better.
Nearly happened on this show last week with Dylan Moran.
Oh, yeah.
Several times. But luckily, a coughing fit obscured the obscenities. Have you got anything you'd like to plug, Subby, while you're there?
Well, not that it involves other radio stations, so I probably shouldn't really.
Okay.
Leave it there.
All right.
Yeah, but good work, guys, anyway. I'm a long-time curler, first-time listener, so well done to you all.
Cheers. Thank you, Subby.
See you, mate.
Thanks for having me on your show a few weeks back. We've got James.
James,
are you there?
Yes.
Got an example of good telly?
Oh, it was absolutely ball-tearing. It was Super Nanny UK. She gave the kid like a jar full of little plastic sort of bouncy balls.
Yeah.
And the punishment when the kid was naughty is she threatened to take away one of its balls. So for the rest of the night, the nanny was just saying that, threatened to take away one of its balls. Look, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to take away one of your balls. It was absolutely hilarious.
And she would too.
Yeah.
She'd go straight for them.
That's why she's my mentor, James. I live by her rules.
Do you take down notes? What have you picked up from the Super Nanny?
Oh, you know, when she shoves them in a corner somewhere and says, stay there on your naughty mat. That really, my children needed therapy after that one.
We need a naughty mat in here.
Naughty mats are excellent.
Okay. Well, thanks to everyone who called in with an example. There are no prizes. I'd love to be able to send an autographed picture of Gary Busey to everyone. I'll see if we can get that happening. Nikki, this will be a test for you. 4 autographed photographs of Gary Busey.
All right.
See if we can come up with that by the end of the show. Thanks to everyone who called in. But it's not over yet. Ship of Fools. World Party here as we wind up. Get this. Is it Wednesday?
Yep.
I've been thrown by Anzac Day. Jane Kennedy has sat in for the entire hour. I should mention that Frontline, the second and third series, out on DVD now. Mm.
Apparently, yes.
Mm.
Apparently, someone said, I saw your head on a bus the other day. I said, that's impossible. What's going on? Oh, no, I think it was advertising Frontline or something. I thought, that's the most money we've ever had spent on us in our entire lives of publicity.
So, bus promotions.
Yes, a bus promotion.
It's funny to watch Frontline now because Frontline was made in the days when Current Affair and Today Tonight, although I think it was called Real Life in those days, actually pretended to be Current Affair shows. They just don't even bother now, do they?
There is no shame now, really.
It's startling news. You might be able to lose some weight.
Yes. Although I've got to say, somehow I'm hooked.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm up for it. I'm up for a good transformation, a big good fat story.
I am
like
as well.
We love the Today Tonight reenactments.
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
It's just as soon as there's a workplace bullying story on Today Tonight, you just go, get all the staff together. Let's have some fun.
That would be fun, I have to say.
I should just mention the website that people have been requesting various skits and spoofs from this program. If they've got music under them, we're not allowed to put them on the internet.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So, like, if there's Gary Newman under it, we can't put it on the internet. But some of the ones that we can are now up on the Get This website. And Jane, thanks for coming in.
That's a pleasure.
I didn't get to all the, you know, new weekly stories.
Oh, that's all right. Look, you know, I'll keep ringing in with any other great juicy Brangelina stories I have. And
I got one here. Listen to this. Mission Impossible stuntman Stephen Scott Wheatley is suing the makers of the film for burns he suffered during a botched explosion, which he claims left him unable to perform sexually with his wife.
Oh.
Hey, now he really will be able to double for Tom Cruise. I'm getting out on that. I'm quite happy with that.
Thank God you're here 7:30 tonight.
Yes!
I better give it a plug. There you go.
And good luck with those children you're having.
No worries.
With your puppies, as they're called in the paper.
Yes, they'll hopefully wean themselves.
Good on you, Jane. Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure,
and,
Tom. See you, Ed.
Oh,
thanks.
See you.
Thanks to everyone who called in, and I think our phrase of the day comes courtesy of Kerri-Ann Kennelly. Have a happy Anzac Day. And we'll be back tomorrow with Bob Franklin. And it's all thanks to Census. 1234.